And I want to welcome you to the I Want to Know More podcast for this week. This week, we're going back to 2 Samuel chapter number 18 as we continue our study of David and the revolt of Absalom. And that's where we're going to pick up with our reading today. All right, 2 Samuel chapter number 18, we're going to begin reading with verse number 1. 2 Samuel 18 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And David numbered the people that were with him, and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. But the people answered, Thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us, neither if half of us die will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us, therefore now it is better that thou succor us out of the city. And the king said unto them, What seemeth you best, I will do. And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out by hundreds and by thousands." We're going to stop there for just a moment. We'll get in verse 5 in a minute, but we need to cover something extremely, extremely important here. David, with the Absalom's revolt, David has lost the heart of most of Israel. Now, there's people that have come with him, but I have to wonder if those people are as wholehearted as they were at one point. And David understands that he's in a bad shape. He's in a bad position. And the people understand it too. And David divides them into three companies. One under Joab, who's the captain of the host. One under Abishai, Joab's brother, the son of Zeruiah. And then one under Ittai the Gittite. Now Ittai, remember, he came with David, and David says, "Look, you just got here. Why are you going with me?" And Ittai says, "Where you're going to go, I'm going to go." And so Ittai is now over a third of the host. Now that's significant. It's significant that this man is from Gath. Gittite means from Gath. He's got David's attention. There's more to this relationship between Ittai and David than meets the eye at first. Ittai was faithful to David, and David put him in charge of a third of the host of Israel, which is a major assignment. It's a major undertaking. It's a major role in what the king was getting ready to do. And so these three parts would go out to battle, and they go out to battle in three-thirds of the army. And they went out by hundreds and thousands. And David says, "Okay, I'm going with you." And the people says, "Oh, no, you're not. No, no, even if half of us die, you're worth 10,000 of us," which seems to me like there's a good number there with David. And so David says, okay, what you've said I'll do, if that's what you think's best. Now, folks, this is the exact circumstance that got him into this pickle to begin with. He stayed home. He stayed away from the battle. He stayed home at his palace. And that's where he saw Bathsheba. And now, this final battle's going down against his own son, and he wants to go. And the people says, "No. No, you don't. You're worth too much. They won't care if we run, but they're going to follow you, and they're going to try to kill you, because you're worth 10,000 of us." How the tables turn, Or what is it the modern generation says? How the turntables. How the tables have turned. David stayed back, and it cost him. And now David wants to go, but he's got to stay back. Folks, many times when you're chastised by the Lord, he brings you right back into the situation that got you into the mess to begin with. So many times, he brings you right back to the same situation. It may not be the same exact circumstances. It may not be the same location. But the parallels will be uncanny. And you'll know that he's brought you to this place, and he's chastised you this way, and now he's reminding you of the sin that caused the punishment. And, you know, and it may not be sin. It may just be a weight. Or it may be a wrong decision you made. It may be something that you wished you could go back and do over. There are no do-overs in this life. You've got to stay guided by the Holy Ghost of God. And you got to stay in tune with the Holy Ghost closely enough so that you know when it's the Holy Ghost and when it's not. And that's not an easy thing. I certainly have made my share of mistakes over the years. I certainly have. And there's many I'd wish I could go back and do differently. Maybe not do over, but do differently. Maybe it may be the same decision, but it may be done a different way. You know, or there's all kinds of things that you could try to do differently about a circumstance. But we don't have that opportunity. And so David is here. He's at the palace. The people are out there. He's worried about the battle when the situation that precipitated this, he wasn't worried too much about the battle. He got on the roof. He was going around. He was at leisure, and he saw Bathsheba. And he lusted after her. Idle hands are swift to mischief, I'm afraid. Idle hands are swift to mischief. He was reminded, and I'm sure if he could have had the opportunity, he would have gone back and not done what he did. But folk, what's done's done. What's done's done. You can't go back and change what you've done. Can you make it right to going forward? You may not even be able to do that. You know, it just depends on what the Lord gives you as an option. He may not give you much of an option. It may have been so important. It may have been so urgent. It may have been so critical that there's no way to make it right. Even after chastisement. And that's the case here with David. Notice it was Uriah the Hittite, and I know this is in English. It doesn't rhyme this way in Hebrew. But it was Uriah the Hittite, and one of his generals today is Ittai the Gittite. You know, that's in English that rhyme occurs. I've not looked at the Hebrew to see if it rhymes in Hebrew or not. I'll leave that to your own studies, but I will say this. Ittai the Gittite from Gath. I believe that's correct. That's where Goliath was from. Goliath was where he won the people's hearts. And now Ittai the Gittite is reminding him that he lost their hearts. And now he's being reminded of the circumstances that caused all of this to occur to begin with. It's a lot to take in. It really is. It's a lot to take in. And when you are chastised by the Lord and the Lord is showing you, here's what caused all this. Just in case you've forgotten, he brings you back to where you were, at least in your mind. And you're there and you have the opportunity to look at it with a fresh set of eyes, but now you're on a little bit different footing. In David's case, he had stayed home from the war, and he was in the palace. Now, he's staying home from the war, but it's not home. It's a city outside of that, and he doesn't have a palace. He has a place he can walk, probably on top of the walls, and he can see what's going on. But from a high vantage point, and I have to think that David got the significance of that. David was very, very, very smart in that regards. And so that brings him to thinking. He's given an opportunity to think. Now he's fled, and during this fleeing, he fled away from Absalom's face, and he fled to this city, and now he's got time to think. He's got time to pray. He's got time, well, to compose psalms. And he does. He does. We're going to look at some of those in future weeks of the psalms that David wrote while he was in exile. Yeah, they're psalms he wrote when he was away from Jerusalem. And this gives him the opportunity. The songs must have just flowed, is all I can say, because there's several psalms that were written when David was in exile. But before he has that opportunity, he has a charge to give his generals first. Let's look at that charge. 18th chapter, verse number 5. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. All right. Now, in this regard, David is a lot like the Lord. In this regard here, David does not wish evil to come upon Absalom. He doesn't want Absalom to have to pay the price of treason. He loves Absalom. He does not want Absalom to perish. He just thinks Absalom's all just mixed up. And this is the way the Lord is. The Lord, it's not the Lord's will that any should perish. No. And he will weep. David's going to weep over Absalom's death when that occurs here in a few verses. But David tells him, deal gently for my sake. Now there's three, one of whom is a foreigner, Ittai the Gittite, but Joab and Abishai are family. They're David's nephews, remember? And he's telling his nephews, you deal gently with your cousin, with Absalom, for my sake. You deal gently with him. And folks, this is tough. It's his son. Yeah, he's doing evil. Yeah, he's doing wrong. But David's heart's broken for him and says, if I could just get him back in here and we could just be okay again and I could have fellowship with my son. Well, the fact of the matter is that's broken. That ain't going to happen. And I wish it could for David's sake here. And you know, there's hope for folks. Because the Lord does not will any should perish. That's not his will. That's not what he wants. He doesn't like the fact that people are going to hell. You say, well, why doesn't he keep them out of it? He did what he needed to do to keep them out. He's not going to force you to accept it. See, that's why salvation is so precious. It could be forced upon you, but then how would it be precious then? There's got to be a choice. You've got to be saved from something, from peril. And there must be, for it to be precious to you, there must be a choice involved. You've got to choose. You've got to choose Christ. When Christ calls, of course, but you've got to choose him. If you don't choose him, then you have sent yourself to hell. Because the Lord Jesus Christ did everything necessary to keep you out of hell, except making you choose him. Could he have forced us? Of course he could. He's God. But God is so sovereign, God is so powerful, that he limited his power and lets each and every one of us individually choose. Yeah. And that takes more power than forcing us would. Because now he's got to let us fail. He's got to let us make the wrong choice. And yeah, he'll call, he'll beg, he'll convict your heart. But then when you die in your sins without Christ, then he will blot your name out of his book. Mm-hmm. Because when... Now this gets into a little deep theology. It does. But according to the book of Revelation, people can get blotted out of his book. Now, if we're not careful, we could imagine a contradiction in Scripture that would allow us to fall from grace and to lose our salvation. And that's what blotting the names out of the book would be. But I don't believe there's any contradictions in the Word of God. And the Word of God teaches strongly in throughout the eternal security of the man who believes. You're given eternal life. Eternal life has no beginning and no ending. And when you are born again, you're born into eternal life. And according to the book of Hebrews, if you could fall from grace, then there's no more sacrifice for sins for you, and you're doomed if you ever fall from grace once. There is no getting saved again after you fall from grace, according to the book of Hebrews, at least. But the book of Revelation says, I will not blot his name out of the book. He uses that expression, blot his name out of my book. I believe that every person who ever lives has their name written down in the book of life. And it's blotted out when they die without accepting him. And it's written in blood, but it's blotted out. Now, blotting out does not mean erased. It means it's removed. There's a difference. There's a difference. Blotting out. Back in the old days, ink pens, the ink, if you made a mistake with an ink pen, you could take some of the solvent for that ink, and you could take a blotter, and you could take that solvent, and it would pull that ink out of the paper. See, an eraser rubs off the layer of the paper, and there's a place left that shows you that there was a name there. But when a blotter goes over, it looks like it's just a blank spot and your name's no longer there. There's no evidence of your name ever having been there when it's blotted out. That's tough. That's tough. But everybody's already there. And the Lord wishes everybody would make the choice to not have it blotted out. The payment's been made. The sacrifice is performed once for eternity. Your sins are paid for. If you'll just choose, Christ, it's done. It's already done. You just got to choose him before you die. And if you don't, then your name will be blotted out. But it's not the Lord's will that any should perish. It isn't. And it wasn't David's will that Absalom should perish. And he was worried about it. He says, now you deal gently with that young man, with Absalom, for my sake. You deal gently with him. What does that mean? Bring him home alive is what that means. Bring him home alive. And we'll take care of the situation then. We'll reconcile. And I'll see my son and I'll forgive him and we'll be okay. Would to God that could have been true for David, because it broke his heart as a father, I know. As a father, I can't even imagine how horrible it would be to have your own son after your life And Absalom was. Absalom was ready to kill David. Absalom was ready to absolutely put David 6 feet under. No questions. No question. That was the case. That was the case. But David, he held out to the hope. He held on to hope that even at this last battle, even at this place of decision making, even at the very day Absalom would die, he was hoping beyond hope that that man could be saved, that that man could be reconciled with his father. Now, folk, let me tell you something else. We as Christians should have the same attitude toward everyone. We should not rejoice in the doom of the wicked, no matter who that wicked is. We should not rejoice in the chastisement of our brothers and sisters in Christ even. We should not rejoice in anyone's calamity. If we do, we need to get on our knees and get right with the Lord, no matter who it is. I don't care who it is. And I know there's been some deaths in the news, and there's been some murderers in the news. We should not rejoice over the deaths of the ones who were killed, and we should not rejoice over the punishment of the ones who killed them or of those who sympathize with the ones who killed them. We should not rejoice in their calamity. That's hard. That's tough. That's really, really difficult to genuinely care for your enemies and be like David and say, now you deal gently with that young man, Absalom. You deal gently with him. You bring him back to me in one piece. You bring him back to me alive. And I'll take care of it. I'll take care of the situation. Now, if Absalom got the opportunity, Absalom would kill him. But that's not David's attitude, and that's not the Lord's attitude, and that should not be our attitude. There will come a day of judgment. There will come a day where the Lord will divide the sheep from the goats. There will come a day where those who worked and didn't do right, their works will become wood, hay, and stubble instead of precious stones and silver and gold. Well, and that judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be plenty of that. You may be born again, but your rewards may be wood, hay, and stubble instead of gold, silver, and precious stones. And there's going to be a mixture. There's going to be people who have gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. And the wood, hay, and stubble is going to be burned. And the precious stones, silver, and gold will last and will survive the fire. But folk, that judgment's for the Lord. The judgment seat of Christ, of course, for the Lord Jesus, and the great white throne judgment, God the Father, Lord Jesus Christ at his right hand, and they will be judgment. And there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth at that judgment. Two separate ones, two separate judgments, one for the believer, one for the unbeliever. But folks, consider David's heart here. Consider the pain of his heart. It's easy to hate your enemies, but here David loved his sworn enemy, his own son, Absalom. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. You can correspond with me by emailing to broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next week for the I Want to Know More podcast.